Well, I've lost count of the time someone on TV introduces a news item with the words, well, it's been another bad day in, or another bad day for, and I'm not just talking about English rugby. We are acutely aware of the suffering that is out there, that is beamed to our TV screens and sometimes into our very hands. We're aware of suffering out there. But how often do we try and cover over our own suffering in our lives when we meet with other people? When we meet together as church, maybe you've done it this morning as you've arrived, and someone says, how are you? Have you had a good week? How often, regardless of how the week has gone, we simply say, all right, thanks, busy but good, you know, all right. I remember speaking to someone who very openly admitted that they'd been having a really tough year. But they said, don't worry, I keep it all on the inside. I'm not trying to lay my problems on you. The Psalms, the songs of ancient Israel, the songs of God's people, are not always upbeat. They are not what a DJ might call floor fillers. The Psalms deal with the realities of life, not afraid to tackle difficult subjects of sorrow, of pain, of loss, of despair, or feelings of abandonment. And these Psalms this morning, Psalms 42 and 43, really count as one song. And the song is not a happy one. Rather, it speaks of the reality that sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it feels like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. Sometimes it seems that all we can do is cry. Sometimes we feel isolated and alone, separated from all those happy, shiny Christians who seem to have everything completely sorted. So look down at these Psalms, and we'll see that they are shaped by a repeated refrain. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. You see, the psalmist is unsettled, not just physical or emotional threat, we find that here too, but unsettled spiritually. The psalmist is not at a point of balance. Rather, the whole world seems to be out of kilter, jarred. Rather than being passive and let the circumstances dictate every thought and action, the psalmist does address their soul and challenges themselves to look outside themselves towards a faithful God. But this isn't just the psalmist giving themselves a good talking to. It's taking an active role in the midst of trouble. So Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, we have this beautiful picture, just as a deer in the heat of the day will be looking, longing for living fresh water, water that is not stagnant but flowing. The psalmist in that way longs for God. Notice as the deer needs living water, those in trouble, verse 2, need a living God. But what is absent for the psalmist is the full presence of God. He feels physically far away from the worshipping life of God's people. But here is trouble. For rather than receiving the good, fresh water of God's living presence, in verse 3, we see that the psalmist's drink our salty tears. Now, I am glad that these verses are here. The experience of crying in desperation and certainty, it's not something that's airbrushed out of the Bible, but it's included to comfort and challenge us as we look through these verses, as we look to the unfailing love of God. Because these verses contain lament, they contain raw emotion, but also hope. Because to the question, where is your God? The psalmist can sing, these things I remember. Where is your God? These things I remember. The trouble is now tempered by the remembrance of the great celebrations of God's presence in the past. There is a clear memory of leading God's people in procession, the noise of a great congregation lifting their voices in praise of God, in shouts and in singing, a multitude keeping festival, that is, remembering the remembering. Does this help us this morning? Well, in the quiet of being alone, when it seems like we might be the only Christian, we can remember our times of gathering, of sharing, of rehearsing, of repeating the good news of the gospel in word and song. In the quietness, we can remember the sound of singing. In the loneliness, we can remember the faces of those who sit around us. And in the chaos, we can remember the festival rhythm, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. But we will only have those memories if we are present now. Take time to reflect on our times of corporate worship together. It's not just about you catching up with God. It's not just about us finding something to do on Sunday morning. It is about us together as God's children, encouraging one another so that we can run the race, fixing our eyes on Jesus. As we've said, we're preparing for Holiday Club this week, and one of the joys of spending time with children is that they like to tell you jokes. Now, I use the word advisedly in this context. Take this example. Will you forget me today? Now, the answer is meant to be no, so you're going to join in with no. Ready? Will you forget me today? Will you forget me tomorrow? Will you forget me in a week? Will you forget me in a year? Knock, knock. I can't believe you've forgotten me already. Genuinely, a child told me that. Do you remember the story back in the Old Testament of Elijah and the prophets of Baal? The prophets of the false god Baal cry out to him and nothing happens. Elijah suggests that perhaps their god is asleep, or maybe he's gone on a journey, forgotten. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Whatever it is, you're not getting an answer from this false god. And here the psalmist is leveling the same kind of accusation against the living God. The psalmist is separated from the presence of God. He feels abandoned, like he's been deserted and forgotten. But now, rather than remember the crowds of people and the collective experience of worshiping God together, the psalmist determines to reflect on the very work of God. So we see intermingled with despair words of hope in the character and past action of God. There is the trouble for the psalmist of distance. Perhaps the distance from the places in which the psalmist had previously significant experiences of God. And there is the trouble of confusion. Rather than streams of running water, there is a roaring, mighty waterfall, which, if you've experienced, can be deafening, confusing. There is the deep, possible threat of drowning. The sound of water calling to water does not speak with clarity. There is not a sign of rescue. And in this situation, the psalmist wants us to know that he is feeling overwhelmed. And not in a good way. And yet, there is light. If you look at verse 8. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. You see, when life seems at its most hopeless, the psalmist finds that they are sent God's love. And his song is with them. We have the words of Jesus at the end of Matthew's gospel. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And words from Hebrews 13, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. As we read from Scripture, from the Bible, as we sing words that point us to God, as we reflect on God's goodness together, perhaps I wonder, would we pay more attention to those words, to those thoughts, if we realized they might be used for our song in the night at some point in the future? For some of us, just knowing that the writer, the singer of this psalm is open and honest with God, sharing that raw emotion of feelings of being abandoned and alone, just seeing these things in print will encourage us when trouble comes. The psalmist needs rescue. He needs God's light. Two little boys come home with a football. "Where did you get that?" asked their mother. "Well, we found it," they say. "It looks pretty shiny and new." "Are you absolutely sure it was lost?" asks Mum. "Yes," both of the boys reply in unison. "We saw the other people looking for it." You see, the psalmist needs to be found and find direction. He needs to be found and find direction. He's oppressed by those around him, those who do not speak the truth, those who are unjust and deceitful. And in the midst of that trouble, in verse 2 of Psalm 43, to the psalmist it seems that not even God cares. The closest expression the psalmist can find to say is that it feels like mourning, that time is painful. It's like experiencing bereavement. What could possibly make a difference in this situation? Surely the psalmist is without hope. Well, no, we see verse 3. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." An appeal to God for him to send his light and his truth so that a way back to the worshiping community can be found. By God's grace, a way back to his presence is possible. So from desperate despair, the psalmist looks forward to a time of prayer and praise, an appeal for help, and what we might see as an aspirational psalm. The psalmist is still nowhere near Jerusalem, but they say, "When I get there, then. The joy of knowing Christ, the joy of the Holy Spirit, is that we do not need to wait until we are in a particular place to connect with God. We might find it easier in certain places, but there is no need to wait. We have access to God through faith in Christ wherever we are. It might feel easier for some of you in an old church building. It might feel easier if you're surrounded by thousands of other people. But we don't need to wait. To close this psalm, we hear again that refrain. Maybe we want to speak it to our own souls. There are times when we may need medical help, counseling, or treatment. But in the everyday experiences of the difficulties and struggles of work and life, we need to remind our soul of the sure and certain hope we have in Christ. So the question is, whom are we listening to? Do we know enough of the words of Scripture to sustain us through the tough times of life? Can I encourage you, particularly if you don't normally, through this week, to open your Bible, to read, reflect, and pray. And also to remind you that we are shaped by our habits. So make gathering with other Christians on Sunday a priority. If necessary, write it on your calendar or in your diary. What do we do on Sundays at 11 o'clock? We gather with God's people. Are we storing up words and sounds of truth and love? Are we, when we meet, when we're reading God's word for ourselves, are we rehearsing the glory of the gospel? Because, sisters and brothers in Christ, we have a God who understands this kind of abandonment and longing. We have a Saviour who on the cross cried, "I thirst," and who heard the taunts of the religious leaders, "Where is your God?" Who was oppressed by his enemies, lies told about him. But as Jesus gave his life, he opened a way to a new kingdom and the unfading hope of the new heavens and new earth, where there will be no loneliness, no pain, no oppression. The light of Christ will be so bright that it will serve as the sun, and we will live in God's glorious presence forever. Let's pray. Lord God, send us your light and your faithful care. Let them lead us. Let them bring us to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell, so that together with the church of all the ages and all those who gather around the throne, our voices would join in with their song of praise and worship, now and for all eternity. Amen.